that suspense that way. Amen. You'll be wondering what happened next as we go through all this. Of course, we know that Calvary Baptist Church has always been concerned about all the people, you know, in the Knob-Noster area in the community. But it's no secret that, you know, that, or no surprise to any of us here, that our ministry has always been predominantly military and working with the military and toward the military. After all, we don't have a lot else in Knob-Noster to work with. And so we don't have a big industry here. So our focus has mainly been with military personnel and, of course, Whiteman Air Force Base. And part of that, I think, is not only, it's amazing to me as you look at this, not only the connection in the ministry, but also the strong connection historically to the base as well. Three of the four pastors have been prior military, and some other stuff that's happened with the military has been pretty interesting. But sometime around mid-1967, we don't have the exact date, but around mid-1967, Master Sergeant Krantz Bond and his wife Ann were transferred here, and their teenage son Ellis, and they were transferred here to Whiteman Air Force Base. Brother Krantz was a Baptist. And he soon discovered after he arrived here at Whiteman Air Force Base, like you all have at some places you have been, there was no place to go to church. And Brother Krantz came for a while and, again, was unable to find some place to go to church. He began to attend over at Holden Baptist Temple, where Brother Ray was pastoring at the time, so with us this morning. And good to have him with us. We'll say more about that here in a little bit. But he began to drive from here over to Holden. And after a while, you know, it began to be obvious that making that trip every week was going to be difficult, especially trying to get off work, make midweek, and to make revivals and so forth. And on top of that, Brother Bond, talking to his son, Brother Bond went home to be with the Lord several years ago, but I was talking to his son, and his son told me that his dad had a burden, you know, that there needed to be a church here in Knob-Noster to reach the base. And so Brother Bond was not called to preach, but he started holding Bible studies in the basement of his on-base house. And he began to hold Bible studies there and began to invite some people. There's a lot more to this, but to make a long story short, he had a burden to reach the people on base, started having the Bible studies, even though he wasn't a preacher, and a couple families began to attend the Bible studies. And it became evident very quickly that God was going to bless and that they needed a pastor, somebody to help them take care of that. And it's amazing, you know, I want to stop here, and I don't want to preach because I'll get going here, but it's amazing, you know, you look at things, you don't have to be a preacher to do something for God, do you? And it's something, it's amazing to me to think that this church didn't start off a preacher. It began because a man, just a guy who loved the Lord and had a burden to see a work here, started holding Bible studies in his basement and just got a burden for something to happen here. And as every preacher that's been in part of this work, obviously has had something to do with its continuance, but it all goes back to the fact that a guy who wasn't even a preacher got a burden and got all this started. And we're here today because Brother Bond got a burden for Knob-Noster and the base. And so he started having services. It began to be evident after they got a few people coming that they needed to call a pastor, needed to get somebody to help them. Brother Bond attended a fellowship meeting of preachers here in the state where he met Brother Tom McGath, who was pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Springfield, now United Baptist. And Brother McGath had a young man in his church that was called to preach and was attending Baptist Bible College. That young man came up here and preached a time or two in Brother Bond's home. And the folks decided that this was the man they ought to call to help him, and they agreed to. And in 1968, a man by the name of Larry Lawrence came began to preach and to work toward establishing a church here. And, of course, Brother Lawrence was the one, from our understanding of history, Brother Lawrence is the one who moved the church into the Whatnot Shop downtown on the corner of the four-way. That old ugly-looking brown building down there is the church met, Calvary Baptist Church met in the upstairs of the Whatnot Shop. For some time, actually, up there. We actually still have the sign. Brother Tim, hold it up. We'll get it up here. This is the original sign out of the Whatnot Shop that was upstairs above the Whatnot Shop. We dug that out of the garage. We didn't even know we had it till we found it here a little while back in the garage. It's amazing to think, again, where things have come from then until now. The Whatnot Shop's being redone down there. They're working on it. There's a ministry moving in down there, going to put in a pantry and different things, and they've offered to let us come down and walk through it and see it sometimes, so we're probably going to take advantage of that. But again, Brother Lawrence came up, and they began to meet in the Whatnot Shop in about March of 1968, and the church began to grow then. Over about the next year or so, they had about 48 people saved over the next year, and then they had a few problems here and there, and we'll pick up the rest of that later. I want to stop for now, but we'll give you a little bit more of that from Brother Lawrence's time on here in a little bit. All right, but again, good to have everybody with us this morning. Brother Mitch, once again, please.
At this time, our men's quartet is going to bring a special.
I saw a blind man tapping along, losing his way as he passed through the throng. Tears filled my eyes. I said, "Friend, you can't see with the fresh air, and you'll not see one blind man in Hallelujah Square. I saw a cripple dragging his feet. He couldn't walk like we do down the street. I said, my friend, I feel sorry for you, but he said, up in heaven, I'll walk just like you. I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus, his glory to share. And you'll not see one cripple in Hallelujah Square. I saw an old man gasping for breath. Soon he'd be gone as his eyes closed in death. He looked at me, said, boy, don't look so blue. I'm going up to heaven. How about you? I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus, his glory to share. And you'll all live forever in Hallelujah Square. And you'll not see one blind man.
Lord, looking forward to that day. Amen. If the Lord would come back today, that'd be fine, wouldn't it? Just come right on back even this morning. Well, again, I good appreciate all the preachers who have come to be with us today and again with their time and come. Brother Al Price is going to be preaching for us first this morning. Brother Price got here around 1991 and was here until about 1997. God called him to preach here at Calvary. Said that God called him to preach over at the cemetery here in Knob Noster because he was on the run. My first thought was he almost waited too long. Amen. God, he had to go all the way to the cemetery before God called you. But God called him to preach. Went partially through Institute here. Was in the Air Force. Had the PCS then in 97 to Palmdale, California. And began to pastor in Phoenix, Arizona in 2002, if I got all this wrote down correctly. And was there until just recently. He's now working on staff down at Berean Baptist Church under Pastor Abel. So appreciate he and his wife. I'll let him introduce his wife, but appreciate them being with us this morning. So Brother Price, why don't you just come ahead and preach.
Calvary Baptist Church, congratulations on your 40th anniversary. I want to thank you for your faithfulness over the last 40 years. I'm here this morning on behalf of Berean Baptist Church and Pastor Abel's. He wanted to be here more than life itself, but we had a dear saint of God, Miss Wanda Foster, who passed away this past week, and he needed to do a funeral for her. I ask you to pray for my preacher. I love Pastor Abel's with all my heart and soul. I'll take a bullet for him. That's how much I love him. His mama right now, the cancer has come back, and he has that burden upon his shoulders with the burden of a church. There's a lot of weight upon him, and if you all would pray for him, it would be a blessing to me, and I know that it would be a blessing to him as well. If you have his address, maybe send him a card and just tell him that you love him and praying for him. Pastor Merrick, I want to thank you for allowing me to come here and preach. I'm honored to be here. I'm very, very humbled. You could have had anybody in the world, and you called and asked me to come. Thank you so very much. When I came to Missouri, I was running from God. When I came here, God was calling me to preach, and I did not want to preach, and I volunteered for assignment to Whiteman Air Force Base. I joined a church in Sedalia, and the military did not have a house for us, and my wife and I, we had to go down to Louisiana and visit my brother, who was also in the Air Force, and about 3 weeks in that time frame. The military called and said, we had a house for you. And I called the preacher of the church that was in Sedalia. His name was Pastor Dalton. And I said, Pastor Dalton, I got some good news. My wife and I will be there here in a week or so, and I can't wait to get there and serve with you. And these were his words out of his mouth. Now, this was 12, 15 years ago. He said, Brother Price, I have some bad news. He said, the church dismissed me as pastor. And I said, why? He said, because I wanted to institute soul winning within the church. When we came back, my wife and I attended the church for maybe 2 weeks, and the preacher that was there used a different Bible, and I broke down. I didn't know what to do. And this is all God's working within my heart. And I came upon the property here when it was the little yellow building, I think, on this side of the building. And Brother Scott was the song leader at that time. And the first person that I met when I walked upon the property was Sam Varghese. I could not understand a word that man was saying to me. I could not understand. He introduced himself 3 or 4 times, and as he was introducing himself to me, I'm thinking, I'm a hillbilly man. Where are you from? And he told me his name, and I said, can I just call you Sam? And he said, yes, you can. But Brother Sam, I love you, and I thank you for your faithfulness. Congratulations on that little baby you're about to have. What a wonderful name. And I look around and see the Scotts and Brother Mrs. Temple's here. I saw her a little bit ago, and I see Brother Mrs. Hubbard and Eric sitting there. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Preacher came into the office on Wednesday, and he said, Brother Al, he said, because of the funeral, I'm going to ask you to go down to Knobnosser and preach. And man, my heart actually started doing this. I got nervous. I get nervous, okay? But as I was thinking about it, Brother Merrick, this church has been here for 40 years by an Air Force base. In my time, the 5 years that I was here, Brother Merrick, I can probably think and count of probably 200 families who came in and left. Over the 40 years that this church has been here, folks, there are literally thousands who have been touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ through this ministry. And I think of people who have been called to preach and churches have been started because of this lighthouse in this little city called Knobnosser. And Brother Merrick, as I was thinking about that, I sat in my study Thursday. I closed the door there. I got a little bitty thing now. Praise the Lord. I've not had an office in 7 years. And I had a little thing, a little study there, preacher, give me. And I put a message together, Brother Merrick. I pray that it would be a blessing to you and to the church. But I want to preach a message this morning entitled, I Love America. I love America. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and stand with me if you're able to. If you're not able to, just stay there and be seated. But Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 to you. And as I read these verses, I want you to think about the great need that we have in America today. Look at what it says. It says, and again, he, that word he is representing my Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. If you take notes, underline those words, in the house. That comes from the Greek word oikos. It means the house of God, the church, or the tabernacle. I think we need God in God's house today. Amen. Look at verse number 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I think preaching needs to be in God's house. Amen. Look at verse number 3. And it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick with a palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand here and preach in this great work. I thank you so much for the 40 years that this church has stood as a lighthouse, and souls all over America and around the world have been touched because of the faithfulness of this church family. Thank you so much for Brother Merrick and his stand upon God's holy and precious word. But God, now we have broken up the bread of life, and Lord, we're going to preach. And God, I ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart and every heart within this room. And Lord, draw us closer to our holy and righteous Savior. And God, if there's one here this morning without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I beg you and I plead and I pray that that soul would walk the aisle today and accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Lord, I love you. Bless this time. In the name, your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Folks, I love America. I served this country for 22 years and 10 months in the United States Air Force, and I want you to know I love America. And I say, if you're here today and you don't like America, I'd like to suggest to you that you pack your bags and leave. I love America. I personally think it's all right, my friends, to throw our shoulders back and stand up and say that we are an American. I also think it's all right to ball up our fist, if you will, and go in foreign lands and fight for the rights that this country has. I think it's a God-given right to fight for America. I think it's all right, my friends, to come back to the work ethic that this country was founded upon and work until we have blisters upon our hands and work till blood drips from our fingers and work until we have calluses. Oh, my friends, the young people today, they don't have the work ethic that our forefathers had when they came to this country. I think it's okay, my friends, to stand up for good old fundamental godly Americanism once again within this country. I love America with all of my heart and soul, but my friends, America needs God, and America's walking away from God, and America needs churches like this one to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and hold the banner of God, Jehovah Nissi, high and wave it, my friends, so that souls can be brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The country which we live in, my friends, it was built upon patriotism, not just any kind of patriotism, but godly patriotism. My friends, it was patriotism that started the light that burned during the dark ages. It was patriotism, if you will, that was the torch that lit the Reformation period. My friends, it was patriotism, my friends, that was the rock that this country was built upon. I firmly believe this morning that we need Christians to bring godly patriotism back to this country once again. We need to fight for our biblical rights. We need to fight for our right to stand up and say what God has us to say and preach His word. We need to stand up for our churches today. My friends, we have Christians today who are cowering behind the cross and not lifting up the cross. We need to once again lift it up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." It's time to take a stand for biblical truth. It's time to stand up and preach sound doctrine in America. My friends, we need to become lamps for the moral pure that is left within this country and see that number increased. This country is falling apart. My friends, if we're going to establish some biblical patriotism within this country, I say we need to establish some churches. I say we need to build some churches. I say we need to start some churches. I say we need to restart churches that are falling apart. My friends, we need churches in America. America has many privileges, my friends, but with privileges comes a great responsibility. You see, the freedom that you and I enjoy was brought to us by a great price. Each and every time you look at that beautiful American flag and you see those red stripes upon that flag, I want you to think about the men and the women who have traveled to foreign lands and have shed their blood so that you and I can have the freedom to come to and fro. My friends, when we look at those stripes, think about the ones who have died on battlefields. Think about the ones who died in America here to give us the freedom to preach God's word within His house. Yes, our first responsibility should be to God. Don't get me wrong. Our first responsibility should be to God. Make no argument about that. But my friends, if we are to enjoy the freedoms that God has given us in this country, we also need to understand that we have a freedom, or we have a responsibility right here in America as well. The land we freely walk upon, I believe, has been baptized in the blood of American men and women. You step your foot upon the land and you walk about, you think about those who gave their life for you so that you can come to church freely in America and hear God's word preached. In fact, my friends, America is the hub which the known world actually revolves around, if you will. Why? Because she was founded upon God. Why is she the hub that everybody wants to surround? I'll tell you why. Because we are free to come and go. I don't need a passport to go down to Berean Baptist Church. I can drive freely, my friend. I don't have checkpoints to stop from here to there. Why is America free? Let me tell you why America is free. Because of Baptist preachers who have preached God's word from the beginning of this country to this day forth. We celebrate Thanksgiving once every single year. But I want you to know it's not enough. I think we need to celebrate God's freedom that He has given us in this country every single day of our lives. Never take your freedom for granted. Multitudes upon multitudes have given their lives for what we have. And my friends, I want to say that I'm tired of seeing people who look down upon our military personnel. You see a military man who has served in this country, put your hand upon his shoulder, hug his neck, shake his hand, and thank him for serving within this country and giving you and I the freedom that we deserve. You think about it for a moment, my friends. If our soldiers had not fought upon foreign lands, you and I would be speaking Japanese today because of how the Japanese attacked the Pearl Harbor. But no, my friends, America balled up their fists and we chased the Japanese back across that great pond that we call an ocean, and we whipped them in their own land. Oh, my friends, you think about it for a moment. We had the freedom here, but if our men did not go across foreign lands, you and I might be saluting the swastika today and saying, "Hell, Hitler." But no, my friends, the American patriotism, they stood up and they went across the land and they whipped the Germans and they chased Hitler all the way up to the crow's nest where he took a gun and blew his brains out. Oh, my friends, you think about it for a moment. If we did not fight upon foreign lands, we would be living in a land right now that would be controlled by communism, having no rights whatsoever. My friends, praise God for the military man who shed his blood for the freedoms that we have. Our country stands today as a high fortress of freedom. America is loved by all people. In fact, every single day all over America, people are trying to sneak into our borders so that they can be free and receive their American citizenship. America is loved by its enemies. America is strong. America is powerful. My friends, I want you to know that it's a privilege to be an American today. But we must never forget that we gained our strength not from our power, not from our might. We gained our strength from a holy and righteous God who brought us here, my friends, to have the freedom to preach. Very sadly today, our country's straying away from God's strength. Breaks my heart. I want you to think of the wide acres of grain that we have. Think of all the livestock. Think of the farmlands. Think of the industries that we have. America has gold and silver, and we have a powerful industry. Think about the cars and the planes. You have that stealth bomber flying around all the time. Think about what the imagination and the knowledge that it had within this country to put that together. Think about the wisdom that this country has that every other nation around the world wants. Think about the freedom that you have to come and go without any question. Yes, my friends, God has smiled upon America, and America is walking away from God. And if we don't return back to God, the freedom that we have within this country, the days are numbered. We may not have it very long. We need to come back to America. Abraham Lincoln once said this, and I quote, "The important thing is not that we have God on our side. The important thing is that we make sure that we are on His side." Amen. Folks, without God, we cannot win a war. Without God, we cannot build churches. Without God, we cannot see souls saved. Without God, we cannot do God's work. Without God, no weapon within this universe, no matter how powerful it is, can keep us safe. Our country is in a spiritual downfall. Our country desperately needs to come back to God before she fails. And my friends, I say it must start with me this morning. I say it must start with you this morning. I say it's got to start with independent, fundamental, devil-hating, soul-winning Baptist churches today who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, I just want to very briefly discuss three of our country's greatest needs. And my friends, we need to come back to God. Look at verse number 1 and 2. It says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." Number one, within your notes, my friends, I think our country needs the preaching of God's word. Our country needs the preaching of God's word. Not only do we need the preaching of God's word, but I personally think that I need to hear preaching about heaven this morning. My friends, John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." My friends, as a Christian, as a born-again child of God, as a preacher of the gospel, I need to hear preaching about heaven. Oh, my friends, I don't know about you, but I can't wait till the day that eastern sky opens up. I can't wait for the day that trumpet sounds. I can't wait for the day that shout takes place. place, and I meet my Savior in the air. Oh, my friends, I can't wait to see Joseph. I can't wait to see King David. I can't wait to see Mark and Paul and all the rest of the apostles. I can't wait to see those who have died before me and have went on to heaven. But my friends, I can't wait to see my Savior who bled and died upon Calvary's tree and shed His blood for me. And oh, my friends, I can't wait to get behind Him and march through that pearly gate with gold and jasper and rubies and sapphires and all the beautiful jewels that are upon that pearly gate. And I can't wait to get upon the street of gold and walk through and see the Shekinah glory everywhere where there's no more darkness and no more pain. But my friends, I can't wait to walk down and see the crystal sea on each side and the Lamb's, or excuse me, not the Lamb's Book of Life, but the Tree of Life there as well. And I can't wait to walk and see the throne of God and the angels flying over saying, "Holy, holy, holy," and having the honor and the privilege and the glory to be able to be with God for all of eternity. Oh, my friends, we need more preaching about heaven. I'm going to heaven, are you? Put a smile on your face this morning. We don't have to walk around looking like we've sucked on pickle juice. My friends, we've been washed in the blood. We have been redeemed. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when this life ends, my friends, we will be with Jesus Christ forevermore. Not only do we need preaching about heaven, but I also think we need preaching about hell. Jesus preached about hell more than He did anything else. I was called to preach in that graveyard right down the street here, wherever it is. I was playing basketball with Bobby Hughes one night, and I went up for a rebound and came down and broke my knee. They told me I'd never be able to walk again, and then they told me if I walked, I'd be with a limp, and I'd be kicked out of the military and all those good things. I was scared to death. And they gave me a little exercise program. I had a walker to walk with, had a cane. Then I started jogging around that graveyard. Graveyards are convicting. They are, man. You go down in that graveyard, some of those tombstones had things like this one: "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord." Tombstones preach. I'm walking around that graveyard, and I get down to the new part of the graveyard, and they don't have anything on. But you get down to the old part of the graveyard, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I did that for about 6 months, walking around that graveyard and jogging around. And the Holy Spirit of God convicted my heart so much. You go down there, there's a lady who died in the 1700s named Lizzie C. Spake. I kneeled down by her grave, my friends, right there by a big oak tree. And I said, "God, if you want to call this dumb old country boy to preach, Lord, I am yours. Take me and use me." And I came to the church, and preacher was in the office. And I, "Preacher, let's go for a ride." He said, "Where are we going?" I said, "We're going to a graveyard." He said, "I don't like graveyards." And I took it out as a preacher right there. I was called to preach. When I looked at those gravestones, it was almost as if they were talking to me. "And I have five brethren who are in hell. Would you not go and talk to them?" I could see the conversation in Luke 16 taking place. And the Holy Spirit of God speaking to my heart and calling me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, listen, we need more preachers in America today. If you're here today and you meet the qualifications, why not stand up and volunteer? Why not stand up and say, "God, it's me"? Why not stand up and say, "I'll go and start a church somewhere. Maybe I'll go to another Knob Noster in Missouri. Maybe I'll go someplace in America." America needs churches. We need preaching in America. We need preaching about heaven. We need preaching about hell. But I also say we need preaching about salvation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Did you hear the words "whosoever"? That's where it does away with Calvinism, doesn't it? Calvinism is a doctrine straight from the pits of hell. My friends, God died for every man, woman, and boy. All we need to do is repent of our sins and come to Jesus. My friends, I love Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means a poor country boy like me, when I grew up where the chickens poked their heads through the floor, God died for me. That means a little rich boy who's had the golden spoon, God died for him. The little girl who does not have a good dress to wear to church, I want you to know that God died for you. The marriage who's fallen apart, my friends, I want you to know that God died for you. The soldier who went to the foreign lands and did all kinds of wicked things to destroy the enemy, oh my friends, God died for you, and He'll save your soul. Come to Jesus this morning and get saved. We also need preaching in America. Listen to what I'm about to say. Preaching takes place in the house of God. I had a thought this week, and I wrote it down in question form. And think about this. If a person can't stand to be with God no more than 1 hour a week, how on this earth is he going to be able to stand to be with God for all of eternity? If you can't stand to be in church no more than Sunday morning, and you think that you've done your duty, when the rapture takes place, how in this world are you going to be able to stand to be with God for all of eternity? My friends, we need church more than we need our blood. We need church more than we need air to breathe. My friends, I would not know how to put my marriage back together if it were not for the preaching of God's Word. My children never would have gotten saved if it were not for the preaching of God's Word. My friends, I would not know the doctrines that have been taught to me through this church right here if it were not for the preaching of God's Word. You need church more than you need life. And get behind your preacher and support him with all your heart and all your soul. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I don't mean to get in a doctrinal debate, but my friends, we need preaching about God's church today. Amen. You see, in Phoenix, where I have come from, they have women preachers. You can't find that in God's Word.
Right.
Come on. We in Phoenix, where I'm at, one of the big things we had to fight with is accepting alien baptism. If you didn't accept alien baptism, then you were not you didn't show love and you did not show compassion. My friends, alien baptism is not in God's Word.
Amen.
In Phoenix, where I came from, if you had closed communion, you were a bigot. Let me show you how big God is. He's about as narrow as that book right there.
Amen.
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 This Bible that I hold within my hand calls a man to preach God's Word, not a woman. This Bible that I hold within my hand says that one needs to be baptized after salvation, not before salvation. This Bible that I hold in my hand says that once we get saved, that we get baptized and we're added to the church. We're not in the church automatically when we get saved. We get baptized and added to the local church. Amen. Come on. My friends, this Bible that I have teaches us that communion is supposed to be a closed communion. And that needs to be taught all over America today because people don't know what they believe anymore. They don't know what they believe. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." I praise God that somebody brought me to church when I was sick. Sick in sin. Look at verse number 4. "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Our country needs the preaching of God's Word, but our country also needs Christians who participate in God's work.
Right. Right.
Amen. Some might say, "Well, preacher, or Brother Al, you're getting in a little area there. Do you need to back up a little bit?" My friends, America needs to return to God's house. When I read Psalm 122 and verse number 1, King David said this, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." My friends, we need to be happy that we had the freedom to come into God's house. We need to walk in God's house with joy upon our faces. My friends, our forefathers left England and they landed on the Plymouth Rock for one purpose, so that we could have the freedom to serve God and preach God's Word without any outside noise coming our way. They went to church every single day. They went to church and prayed every day. Today, Christians hardly, if ever, grace the door of God's house. Let me ask you a question this morning. What comes to your mind when you take a coin out of your pocket and you see the term, "In God we trust"? These words are engraved upon every coin. They're upon every dollar bill. And my friends, let me ask you a question. Do they actually mean anything to you? Do you, when you take the coin out of your pocket, does it speak to you in any way? Or will another phrase do within your mind? Our nation's forefathers didn't think so. Those who fought on the battlefields here in America, they did not think so. The men and women who braved the prairies, they did not think so. My friends, the men and women who crossed the mountains to pioneer the lands, they did not think so. Their motto was, "In God we trust." But what about us today? Do those words inspire us? Do those words give us strength, or have we forgotten about the power of the faith that is expressed within those words? How long has it been, my friends, since America truly trusted in God? How long has it been since Christians in America have truly fallen down upon their knees and cried out to God and reached out to Him with a heart of faith? How long has it been, my friends, since churches have gathered together in prayer, in faith, asking God to do a mighty work within their midst? My friends, I say it's time that we return to God in faith. It's time that we gather together. It's time that we knit hand in hand and pray and ask God to revive this country, because she is going down. We only have one life to live. I didn't get saved until I was 28 years old. And to be honest with you this morning, my life before salvation was wicked, the most vile sort. But praise God, He saved my soul. When Jesus saved me, something took place within my heart and my life. I didn't want to have the old lifestyle anymore. The Holy Spirit somehow directed me the opposite direction towards Jesus Christ. And now within my life, after God has saved me and the Holy Spirit has worked within, I want to do God's work with all of my heart and all of my might and all of my soul and every ounce of energy that I have. My friends, we need to have Christians today who will dedicate their life to God's work. You say, well, hey, I'm a bricklayer. Be a bricklayer in God's work. You might say, I'm a banker. Serve at that bank with all your heart and your soul. You might say, well, I do other things. Well, do it with God in mind, with His purpose. My friends, return to God. We need strong Baptist churches, and we need them today. America needs Christians who participate in God's house, and every pastor would say amen to that. King David said, I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Christians, we need Christians who pray. A day without prayer is a day without God. Let me give you a statistic that was given to me in college. In college, they made this comment, and it's never left my side. They said the above average Christian spends less than 15 minutes a day in prayer. When I'm thinking of the above average Christian, I'm not thinking about the church members. I'm talking about preachers like me. Spend less than 15 minutes a day in prayer. And if preachers are spending less than 15 minutes a day, what is the congregation doing? And if the congregation and the preacher's not spending time in prayer, how in this world can we step out in faith and ask God to do something? Oh, Christian, listen to me this morning. How much time are you spending in prayer? Did you pray before you even come today? Did you pray last night? Did you have a private devotion time? My friends, we need Christians today in America who pray. We need churches who pray. We also need Christians who participate in practice. I guarantee you, I've not been in this church but once in the last 12 years, but I guarantee you there's things to be done here. I guarantee you need nursery workers. I guarantee you need somebody to mow the grass. I guarantee you need somebody to take up the offering. I guarantee you that you need somebody to clean the church. I guarantee you that there's ministries here that need to be taken care of. My friends, every church in America is the same. It's like going to a football game. You got 22 men on the field in desperate need of rest, with 10,000 people in the stadiums watching them to work. My friends, we need to participate in God's house. Check this out. This is awesome. When you got saved, my Bible says that the Lord called us into a royal priesthood. Amen. A peculiar people. Do you not realize that when you come to church that you're stepping upon royal ground, because you are a royal priest of our Lord and Savior? And if you reach over and pick up a piece of paper, you're picking up paper off of God's floor. My friends, it's an honor and it's a privilege to participate in God's house. This is a royal priesthood. We are the child of the King. I also think we need to participate in praise. The charismatics have sort of taken that away from us today. Yes. Churches today, they're afraid to say amen when the preacher's preaching, because they're thinking, oh, somebody's thinking I'm going to stand up and do something silly. My friends, listen, we had that long before the charismatics took it away from us. If God's word is preaching, we need to say praise the Lord. My friends, we need to have some smile upon our faces in our duty places. I can remember being out in Plant 42 and working out there, and they had this big, huge hangar. I don't know how big the floor was, and they gave me a mop, and every day I had to mop that floor, and I had a choice. I could develop a negative attitude, or I can develop a positive attitude. And I developed a negative attitude. I said, why in this world do they have me, a master sergeant, out here mopping this floor and all the Northrop employees going in lunch and having their good time? And then God started convicting my heart. Say, man, you're a real good testimony. And I went off to the opposite end of that hangar, and I went into that bathroom, and I went into the stall, and I cried like a little baby in that stall and asked God to forgive me. When I left that stall from then on out, and I'm telling you the honest goodness truth, when I picked up that mop and I went into that big old hangar and everybody else was doing what they had, this was one master sergeant had that mop and he was going, it's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My friends, listen, souls came to know Jesus Christ because the sourpuss look got off my face and I started praising Jesus. My friends, we need to give praise to our Savior once again. Another way that we can participate is in our pocketbooks. Ooh. The church that I was pastoring in Phoenix, Arizona, just had to close its doors because there was no money to support it. And I went back through all the financial records within our church and looked at the tithing records. And there was people who made $60,000 and $80,000 a year who gave about $2,000 or $500. Christians with holes in their pockets. The credit cards had become their God. You know why churches are closing their doors today? Because Christians won't give. My friends, we need to give. When that offering plate passes your lap and it comes across you, put a smile on your face. Thank God for that offering. Place it within the offering plate and say, Lord, thank you for giving me the money. Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to give back to you. God, thank you for calling me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Lord, this is yours because I'm honoring and I'm worshiping you. I'm not worshiping the church. God, I'm worshiping you and I want to give this money to you. Oh, my friends, when that offering plate passes by, if there's a special meeting, if there's a special need, such as the building that you're building out here, get dig down deep. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Verse number 5. I'm probably going over my time frame. I don't know. Verse number 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. I read that Thursday and I wonder, how often has God seen my faith? God, am I failing you? So when I read God's word, I try to put myself there. God's word is applicable today just as much as it was then when it was written. And it says, and when Jesus saw their faith, my friends, I want God to see my faith. I want God to be pleased with me. When I see Jesus, I want him to place his hand upon me and say, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. When's the last time God has saw your faith? It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The third thing that this country needs, my friends, is it needs a pardon of a Savior. Amen. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, my friends, God could have very easily said, that's it. I built them a perfect paradise. I placed them there and gave them a perfect way to live. But now they've sinned and I don't want nothing to do with them no more. But my friends, you read Genesis chapter 3, and in the coolness of the day, the God of this universe came looking for that which was lost. Amen. You see, that tells me that God loves the sinner. That tells me, my friends, that he loves us and he wants us to be saved. In fact, the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. My friends, can you imagine Jesus humbling himself and leaving the glories of heaven to come down here and put on a flesh suit just so that you and I could be saved? Jesus willingly laid his life down at the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be saved. In Matthew chapter number 28, Jesus commissioned his church to go. Usually when you get on that subject, people go, well, that's the preacher's job. Well, when I study scriptures, the church is a body of born-again, baptized believers coming again to carry out the great commission of the Lord. When I study scriptures. And if God has commissioned his church to go, that means that he's commissioned you to go. In fact, Mark 16:15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You hear that? God called me a ye. I can get a Y and an E and put on my shirt and go, I'm a ye. Isn't it wonderful that God would call me a ye? He's called you a ye, and He's commissioned you to go. The Holy Spirit of God is upon you, my friends. We need to go and tell every person out there that's lost about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If they don't, my friends, they're going to die and they're going to go to a Christless hell. Many people do not know this, but Pocahontas was the first convert within this country. She stood in between Captain John Smith and saved his life. And after she saved his life, a few days later, a Baptist preacher came by with the Bible and started witnessing to Pocahontas. And Pocahontas kneeled down and accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. A few days later, she was baptized in Jamestown Baptist Church. In Jamestown Baptist Church. Let me ask you a question. Why did it happen? Why was Pocahontas saved? I'll tell you why, because somebody had a heart for lost souls. I'll tell you why, my friends, because somebody knew that she needed a pardon of a Savior. I'll tell you why, because somebody knew that she needed to be saved. And my friends, as a child of God this morning, we need to dedicate our lives to this great cause. We need to dedicate our lives to go out and tell others about Jesus. Oh, my friends, we need to sell out for God and preach the gospel to every creature that walks around here in Knobnoster and around Phoenix and around New York and around all the United States. Yes, we need missionaries in foreign lands, but my friends, we need churches today in America that will reach out. Our country was founded upon God. Our country was founded upon godly patriotism. I believe my country was founded upon this Bible. And I firmly believe that it was founded upon Baptists that come into this country. You might think different, that's fine, but that's what I believe. And I love America more than life itself. And if America does not come back to God, starting with us, she's going to fall. In 1681, I'll close with this, William Penn said this, and I quote, "If we are not governed by God, we will be ruled by tyrants." If we are not governed by God, we will be ruled by tyrants. We're being ruled by tyrants. And after this next election, where are we going to go from there? I say let's come back to God. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your power. Lord, I thank You for this great work and the opportunity to preach here. And Lord, I pray that the message has been a blessing to those within the room, and God, that the Holy Spirit would speak. If there's one without Jesus, I pray for their salvation. But Lord, those of us who are saved, those of us who know without a shadow of a doubt that we're going to heaven, God, let us rededicate our life for the purpose of the kingdom of God. In Your name I pray, amen. Brother Merrick.
Man, I appreciate the message this morning. You can go ahead and stand if you want to. Appreciate the message this morning. Brother Price coming up. And you know, when you serve in the church, you serve the Lord first, but we also serve our country by serving our church. Serving the Lord through our church, because it has a big impact on those things. And I, like Brother Price, I love our country. I fear for our country coming up here pretty soon, especially in 08. And if you've been watching news any this week, I haven't seen a thing that's encouraged me anymore. It's only gotten worse this past week, the things that are going on and taking place. But you know what? It doesn't change our responsibility. It doesn't matter who gets elected in 09, 08, wherever we are, 08. It doesn't matter who gets elected. Our responsibility is still the same. Occupy till the Lord returns. Amen. But stay after it until Jesus comes back, and whoever gets elected won't change any of that. Might make it a little tougher, amen, but it still doesn't change our responsibility, so we're just going to keep serving the Lord, amen, until He comes back.